Father, we just thank you today for your word. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the kingdom of heaven that lives in our hearts. Thank you, Lord God, that the glory of God is made manifest in us as we come into your presence and worship and praise you and give glory to your name. Father, we ask you today to show us your word, show us your mercy, your grace, and your love. Cause us to see that the kingdom of heaven is made manifest in us so that we can share the truth of God's perfect grace and mercy with the world. That's why we're here. We're not here for making money. We're not here for building houses. We're not here. We happen to do those things just because it's good to have a roof over our head, but that's not why we live. We live and breathe and have our being in you. And Father, we thank you for causing us to see that each day so that we know you and that we walk with you and that we fellowship with you in our marriages and in our families and in our churches. And even as we meet each other on the daily work basis, so we go out and cause our meat to do business and have our sustenance provided as we put our hands to our labor. Thank you, Lord God, that you are causing us to, in fact, have access to the whole world to distribute and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We come and go. Just as even the fear of the coronavirus comes and goes, as we travel across the world, the gospel travels across the world because of us. The gospel travels everywhere. The gospel travels to China, travels to India, travels to Mexico, travels to Argentina. It travels everywhere. The good news of the kingdom of heaven goes everywhere we go. And Father, we thank you that we are vessels filled with the gospel, filled with the good news. Thank you, Lord God, that everywhere we go, we're salt and we're light. And we are evidence of the good news is everywhere we are. Evidence of God's love is everywhere we are. So we just give you praise and give you thanks for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Isn't that true? Is that really, you know, that's the only reason you're here, isn't it? Praise the Lord. An enemy wants to make you nervous about all the things that you might be having to do. And so what I just want to share with you this morning that God delivers you in the midst of the storm. It's good when people come in right on time when the message is beginning. That way they don't miss anything. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at, I was fixing to start this morning, then all of a sudden it occurred to me, we shared a little bit this morning. Over in Romans 14, it says, Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not unto doubtful disputations. This is the message. This is just an appetizer. Is that, you know, somebody doesn't want to shake hands or doesn't want to elbow you or doesn't want to sit within 6 feet of you. You know, they want you to sit 6 feet apart. And I said, in our church, that's not a problem. Even husbands and wives do that. You know, they sit 6 feet apart anyway. Got plenty of room. They're spread out. But he said, over in Romans 14, it talks about specifically about meats, eating of meats and practices, you know, religious practices. Well, some people feel comfortable doing this and some people don't feel comfortable doing that, you know. And so same thing is true with all of these things that, you know, don't you have faith, brother? Here. I stuck my hand out to a real estate agent yesterday, and she just kind of kept her hands like this and kind of nodded to a little sign on the table next to us and says, we're asking our customers to refrain from handshaking and, I didn't say hugs, it wasn't a church, but handshaking and something else. Anyway, greetings of various, of regular kinds, you know. And so I just kind of sheepishly put my hand back together, you know. I said, okay. And you feel kind of funny. But what that does is tell you is that, well, somebody doesn't want to shake your hand, you know, because either they're afraid or they just, you know, the boss is watching or whatever they're doing. And so, But for us, we're not worried about that. If somebody in the church comes in, you know, we're not worried about that. You know, and some people are it's an actual thought. Brother, I don't know. You know, so just rejoice, just love them. You know, because you don't need to give somebody a hard time, because everybody comes at this from some different thing. You know, we got our little granddaughters, you know, who are, you know, their problem is not getting diseases, but their problem is getting rid of them, you know, because they can't, like I can't, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have done that. Because they can't cough and their muscles are such that they don't want them to get anything. And so, we're real cautious about that kind of thing. So, but again, you don't know where everybody's coming from. So all I'm just asking you to do is just love one another. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So, you see somebody, you've been thinking, well, brother, you should just have more faith. Well, leave them alone. Amen? Just let them be where they are. You know, it's okay. It's okay for people to be where they are, isn't it? Huh? Yes, it is. Amen. So, praise God. Let's look at Psalm chapter 2. Well, that's a weird psalm. Why do we want to look at that? Psalm chapter 2. I want to talk about defeating fear in the storm today. You know, hey, we're done. I got to get used to some new tactics. You know, I've been preaching on Psalm 119 for 2 years. You forgive me if I'm kind of halting a little bit this morning to kind of get into a new groove. So, but this morning I just felt like the Lord just wanted to minister on just defeating fear, because we don't know it. Because fear comes up, doesn't it? Amen. Every day fear is going to try to come and get you. It's like a disease will try to come and get you. It's like something else will try to come and get your attention. The enemy wants to get your attention off of your completed, finished salvation and his finished work on the inside of you. Over in Romans 8:32, it says, "He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" So once you got Jesus, you got everything. Amen? Are you comfortable with that? Once you got Jesus, you got everything. Well, what about that? Yeah, that too. Yeah, what about? Yeah, that too. Whatever you can come up with that looks like, you know, it might be something that you need to pay attention to, plan for, and get a strategy going. Go first of all, go back and say, God the Father provided for that. Amen? God the Father provided with that. Because on Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not his own son." Who is that? Not the son, but he. He is the Father. And Jesus used to talk about that to the Jews. You know, he in the Sermon on the Mount, he spent tons of time talking about your Father in heaven loves you. Your Father in heaven loves every one of you. And when you go into your prayer closet, your Father in heaven, and you pray in secret, your Heavenly Father hears you. Amen? So he was bringing it up to the fact that God was not just Jehovah and Elohim, but God was your Father, your Abba, your Father in heaven. And so the Jews were like, "Yo, that was big. That was a big deal. What do you mean, talking about God like my Father? You know, he's your loving Father. He's the Father who absolutely loves you." And so he says, "He that spared not his own son, how shall he not also with him?" I mean, if he gave you the top prize, he gave you the very best thing that he has, how's he going to withhold anything else? Amen? So anytime any need comes up, I just go back to that scripture. You know, I'd heard it before many, many, you know, times and times. You know, I've heard it many times. But it just became powerful to me. Is that, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And all things covers all things. So I'm happy with that. So what that means is every time there's some kind of situation that would come up that would cause some kind of distress or some kind of concern, I'd go, well, my Father took care of that. My Father's made all provision for that, you know. Whether or not I bought a big bucket of rice or, you know, remember we were talking this morning about Y2K, you know. Remember that? When you bought all the buckets of rice and seed and big barrels of water, you know, and all that kind of thing. And so, but God has already provided for you. Amen. So in every circumstance that comes up, I'm already way ahead of the game. Amen. And see, because I want to read about this here in Psalm 2. Okay? Because where are we getting all of our information on this, all this stuff that's going on right now? Where is all your information coming from? Is it coming from the church, or is it coming from the world? Well, it's coming from the world. You know, first thing you heard of, you know, heard from the president. You heard from CNN or Fox News or Local 5 or whatever you heard. You heard of it from your schools. If you got kids in schools, you heard it from them. You heard it from your neighbor. So let's read this. Why do the heathen rage? Well, it just gives new meaning to that, doesn't it? The recent news stuff we've heard recently. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said to me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Well, let's go get the heathen right now. Praise the Lord. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thine inheritance. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be you wise, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they who put their trust in Him. Praise God. You know, when I was asking her, praying about, you know, okay, God, what do you want to do? I've got a direction I'm thinking about going. But just with all this stuff, you know, and this psalm came to my heart. It's not Psalm 91. It came up later, you know, kind of came up later. But this one came. Why do the heathen rage? You know, why does the whole world just, you know, getting totally worked up about everything? Well, that's what they do. You know why it's good to get the world worked up? But because then you can provide a solution. Amen? So you get everybody worked up, you get everybody all excited, and then you come in with a solution to help them, to help everybody. So they begin to help you. It sounds like communism, doesn't it? They create a crisis, and then they come in and give the little kid, you know, in the school, they'll give the little kid a piece of candy. Okay, pray to God, see if you get no candy. Robert used to tell this story. And then the communists that came in, then they said, okay, pray to the government to give you candy. And the kids had their heads down. All of a sudden, a little piece of candy appeared on every desk. So you're going to teach the kids. You're going to teach the kids that blessing comes from the government. And so we don't teach that, right? I mean, we teach that government doesn't provide anything. Government, in fact, the Word of God tells you that government is ordained of God, but only to punish, only to stop evildoers. You know, the reason for the law was to stop you from destroying the whole world until Jesus came. Because you couldn't keep it up. You can't keep the law. You can't keep a law. You can't keep a law. But what the law did is keep you from killing each other until the fullness of time where Jesus shows up. Because the law was never for you to keep. The law is for Jesus to keep. Amen? But it did tend to keep you from killing each other or stealing things from each other or, you know, disrespecting. It kept civilization in place for a limited period of time. But the government wants to believe that they have more power than they do. They want you to believe that they have all authority and all power. If you did not know God, who would you believe in? I mean, it's a big, great organization that's happening right here in your country, and they can actually take care of you, and they can distribute things to you when you have need of them. When there's a big hurricane and a big tornado, well, who's going to come in? The government's going to come in and help you. Now, when there's a big disease, what's going to happen? Well, the government's going to come in and help you. And so they've got this entire network of network of dissemination of information that's going to let you know that the government is going to take care of you. Amen? And see, these are great, great dichotomies in people's belief systems. Is people who believe in God and know that God is their source, and that how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Or is the government going to take care of you because we live in a natural world? Well, God says just obey the laws and just do all the things that the government tells you to do. Now, are there wise things that God says do? Like, you know, what was the scripture? Jeff said, somebody said, we clean hands. Well, good, that's a good thing. You clean your hands. But to be fearful and to walk in fear, that's what the government wants you to do. They want to have control over you. They want to control what you do and how you approach a crisis situation. God says, trust me. Amen? God says, trust me. So this is a great opportunity to remind ourselves to trust God, because when that dichotomy comes, it's, you know, left and right. Choose life. You know, here comes something that you need to make a decision on. What are you going to do? Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? I'm going to believe God. Amen? So, he says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? See, in this, when he's talking, is the people are really the people of God. But all of a sudden, the people imagine a vain thing because the enemy stirs up things in your mind. And what your job is, as those who have trusted in God to the death, is to say, no, in Jesus' name, don't fear. In Jesus' name, God is your source. Amen? To rest and be comfortable. To know that what God promised, he's going to perform. So why do the people imagine themselves a vain thing? It's a vain thing to trust the world. It's a vain thing to trust the world and to trust those rulers. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers of the earth take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, because they want you to believe that they have the source and the solution. Because when you believe that, then you also believe the next time something comes up. So we have all these circumstances processes in place that we're beginning to trust in. Amen? So God says no. Before we had the communication ability we have, I mean, 150 years ago, out in the middle of, say, around the time of the Civil War and around the time that the country was just kind of still finding its footing, it really wasn't for just finding its footing. People just had to trust God. But now once you've gotten to a place where you have this kind of immense ability to move funds and to move information, all of a sudden you're not dependent on God anymore. You're dependent upon what people tell you you're dependent upon. Amen? I mean, there wasn't even any income tax back then. There wasn't any Medicare back then. There wasn't any Social Security back then. Is it all bad? Hey, it's very helpful. But the problem is there's a price to pay for it if you let it. There's a price to pay for it if you let it, if you believe that that is your source now. Amen? So he says, serve the Lord with fear and with trembling, and rejoice with trembling. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Let's serve the Lord with fear. That is, he's God. He's God. Nobody else is God. This world is not God. Amen? Hallelujah. Kiss the Son, he's commanding those in authority, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I'm going to trust in him today. How about you? Amen? Let's trust him today. Praise the Lord. And my encouragement for you today is just to have that word. Have that word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The meditation of my heart is not, what's going to happen tomorrow? The meditation of my heart is, thank God he's already provided for me, protected my kids, protected my, you know. And in fact, I'm a vessel of peace for those who come around. I'm a vessel of peace, aren't you? Amen. That's it. See, we're not from the here. We're not of this world. We're not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're the kingdom of heaven in the world. You look at over in John chapter 13 through 17, when Jesus began to talk to them, he washed their feet, and then he began at the supper to talk to them about the fact that he was going to be leaving, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be their comfort, and the Holy Spirit is going to show them things to come. He's creating a kingdom of God in the world that you, brethren, you 12 guys, and those whom you teach are going to be the initiators of. And God is going to lead you. God's going to guide you. The kingdom of heaven is on the earth in you until I come back. So that's who we are. We're not about trying to make God happy and have him be happy with us until the day that Jesus comes. We're here to declare the good news of the gospel and show the love of God, the peace of God in the kingdom of God until he comes. Amen? We're full of joy, full of peace. So you are a oddball, sadly, until you reach that person who God sends your way. And you begin to reach them, and they see your joy, and they see your peace. And that's true of this situation right now. Let people see your joy. Let people see your peace. It'll stagger them. Amen. It will stagger them because they look at you, you know. And like I said, don't make them shake their hand. Don't grab their hand and make them shake your hand. Come on, brother, have some faith. No, just love them, you know. Me and Walter will come in. Walter's reaching in, and I'm doing this, you know. And I said, let's just do-si-do while we're doing it, you know. Amen? I mean, enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself, but show the joy of the Lord. Show how God is peace in you. Amen? I mean, you can be you're a great testimony. You're a great testimony. Hallelujah. I said, you're a great testimony.
Thank you.
Because he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? I will. Everybody say, I will.
I will.
I will say of the Lord. Amen. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In him will I trust. Amen. Surely. He should deliver thee, me, from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid. Woo-hoo! Well, it's good to not be afraid, isn't it? You shall not be afraid. Well, I'm feeling kind of afraid right now. No, God's talking to you. He put his arm around you. He's just loving you. He said, you should not be afraid. Okay. Okay. No, you shall not be afraid. I will not be afraid. You could actually sing a song about not being afraid. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, night or day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness. Oh, here it comes. For the destruction that wastes at noonday. Oh, I see it coming. I see the smoke rising. A thousand shall... Here's the promise. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. That's crazy talk, unless you have a big God. Amen?
Yeah.
A thousand shall fall. Oh, my gosh, what just happened? Oh, wow. Look at that crowd. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, it's something about you. I don't know what you got. Yeah, something about you is you've had the living God on the inside of you. Amen? Your joy is full. Amen. You trust Him in everything that you do. You trust Him with your down sitting and your uprising. Amen. Oh, see, I feel like I got a sniffle. Well, praise the Lord. Don't have it for long. You know, when I have a sniffle, I don't have it for long. Amen?
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah.
No. You get a little tickle in the back of your throat? No. No, I'm not going to have that. I just say it. I'm not going to have that. And within an hour or two, usually. Maybe it might even take a day. But I just said, no, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to have it. I don't believe in it. I don't receive it. You know, some folks, they just go right for the medicine chest. And that's okay, too. That's Romans 14. That's fine. Go to the medicine chest and then believe God. It's okay for that, too. Amen? Take your little Advil or something. That's okay. Brother, that's sin. No, it's not sin. Amen. Are you rejoicing today?
Yeah.
Are you, you're not afraid of even the thing that, you know, that taking one thing or another thing. I'll just encourage you today. Just don't receive sickness when it starts creeping in. Mm-hmm. Amen? No, I don't believe in that. I don't believe I'm going to have that. Well, what if it was some other pain over there that lasted for 6 weeks and you felt like you should go to the doctor? Go ahead. Pastor Jim would never do that. But you might. Amen? Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid of anything. I'm just telling you, don't be afraid of anything. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Are you not afraid? Well, I'm afraid to say that. I'm afraid to say I'm not afraid. Don't be. Just exalt Jesus. Rejoice and give praise. Amen. Hallelujah. So only with thine eyes shalt thou see and behold the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, the Most High your habitation, no evil shall befall thee. Boy, that's quite a statement. No evil shall befall thee. Say, no evil shall befall me. Because I've made the Lord my habitation. Neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in the hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the snake. The young lion and the dragon and another snake shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. How many know he set his love upon you? I mean, that was God's move. He set his love upon you. So every day I'm happy. I want everybody to get this. Don't you? Don't you? I want you to get it if you don't have it. Every day. He set his love upon you. He is the God of heaven. He's spent everything for you, and He's got more to give you. Because He set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on setting you on high, because He has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will show him and deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Yes, that's he that dwelleth. What does it mean to dwell? Stay there. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. A couple of stories from the Scripture. Jesus in Mark 4 says, verse 35 says, in the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let's pass over to the other side. Talking about in a boat. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves and beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why were you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, said to one another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Hallelujah. He said, "Why were you so afraid?" I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you. Don't be afraid. How many know God's with you right now? In the biggest storm that we had, the big storm. Whoa. I mean, you know, you can't turn on the TV. They don't even carry anything. They don't carry debates anymore on regular TV. They don't carry, you know, State of the Union addresses. You can only get on cable news. The only thing they carry on TV is, "Oh my goodness, we're all going to die." Well, gee, that makes for good television. Advertisers are salivating over that, you know. Going to sell more toilet paper. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because why? You've made the Lord your habitation. You made the Lord on high your habitation. He's in you. You're in Him. And you're just always walking around completely filled with His Spirit and at peace with everything that's going on. Even though there's I'm not going to tell the story about but when they get to the other side, of course, that guy going, "Boo-boo-boo-boo-boo," you know, that scary guy. You know, and Jesus delivers him from devils. But I mean, why the guys are, they're still on the boat, and he's heading straight for this guy, and they're going, "Oh, Jesus, you know, don't go over there. We've heard of him. Don't go see that guy. No, we're going right for him." Praise the Lord. It's okay. You can go right for the devil. You know, you're not afraid, are you? I'm not afraid. Now, if something happened and I got afraid, don't be afraid. And you heard me on the radio or something, and I said, "Oh my goodness, that one made me afraid." Well, don't believe it. Even if I say it, don't believe it. Because that's not my heart. Amen? Even if you say it, that's not your heart. You know? I want you to be able to distinguish between your heart and your head. There's some things that might freak you out, but then you say, no, that's not me. That's not my heart. Because you might think, "Oh my goodness, I'm afraid." No, you're not. That's just your silly head. Okay?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Is that sometimes you can have faith in your head, faith in your heart, and fear in your head.
Yeah.
But you don't believe, I don't believe that. I don't believe the devil can get me. I don't believe I can be destroyed. And if I end up in heaven and St. Peter greets me at the door and said, "What are you doing here?" "Well, they killed me." "Well, did you believe in that?" "No, I did not believe in that." "Well, come in. Come on in. Praise the Lord. He might send me back." "No, it's not time for you. Go back." All right? Now, but Noah found grace in Genesis 6. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah, a just man and perfect in his generation. Well, that's like you. Do you know Noah's like you? Amen? He's just like Abraham. He had faith in God. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. He didn't quite say it that way, but it said it this way. It says, "Now Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation." Well, that's you, because he believed the promise of God. It's not because he was a good guy, not because he did everything right. It's because he believed God. So God shows up and says, "Hey, the rest of the world's going to pot. I'm going to destroy them all. I'm going to get rid of it, and we're going to sweep up and try again." And Noah begat three sons, Ham, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. But go down to verse 18 in chapter 6 of Genesis. It says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant." He said to Noah, "But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." So you and your house, You and your household, I'm going to bring you all into the ark because I've established my covenant with you. Well, how about that? God established a covenant with you. Because of what? Because of things you did good? No, because of His grace. Because of faith. And Genesis 7:1 says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous. Thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." So God sees faith as righteousness, doesn't He? Okay? John 16:33 said, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you." This is where He's preparing them for His departure, He's telling them about the Holy Spirit going to come and dwell on the inside of them. He says, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Cheer up. I've overcome the world in which you will have tribulation. That world you're going to have tribulation in, I've already overcome that. Isn't that good? He's overcome that world. That's the world you live in, but He's overcome that world already. Hallelujah. Because you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Exodus 23:25. "You shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and water, and I will take sickness out of the midst of you." Well, that's good news, isn't it? I'm going to read you some stories, some scripture about God's provision for your body, for healing. That's Exodus 23:25. Every time I pray for you, I'm going to use all these scriptures because I want you to be reminded that this is what the Lord promised with respect to your body. Amen? So He said, "And you shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take away sickness from the midst of you." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "When Jesus, His own self, bare His own our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." In Deuteronomy 7:15, "The Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest." Well, I guess you listen to the news. "He will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt upon you." Well, Egypt is always, in the Scripture, Egypt is always discussed as this world. It's always a type of this world. So He's going to put none of the evil diseases of Egypt upon you. But in fact, I'll lay them upon them that hate thee. Then over here in Isaiah 53, "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." The story of the centurion who comes to Jesus in Capernaum, and he says, "Don't come under my roof. Jesus, just my servant lays sick. You don't even need to come under my roof. Just speak the word only. My servant shall be healed." And Jesus said, "I haven't found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Go thy way, thy servant is healed." And when he got home, servant was healed. Speak the word only. So that's us, is speaking the word rather than what we're hearing on all of these medias. Amen? We're speaking the word, speaking the truth. Jesus came in and healed Peter's mother, touched her hand, left the fever, left her. And they brought to Him, in that same chapter, they brought to Him those possessed with devils. And He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, saying, "He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Here comes the woman with the issue of blood. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And immediately, knowing this, Jesus knew virtue had gone out of Him. He turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said, "Jesus, everybody touch your clothes." And he looked around about to see who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. You are healed of your plague." So we come. We come to Jesus. You know, even if you thought you had something, just come to him. Say, "Jesus, thank you. Jesus, you're healing me." It's like I said, when I have some kind of evidence of a sickness, I just come right to him and say, "Jesus, thank you that you've healed me. Thank you that I'm healed and whole. Thank you that no symptoms can live in my body. Because I'm not sick. I'm healed." Somebody said, "You're not the sick trying to get healed. You're the well. And the devil's trying to steal it. The enemy's trying to steal it from you." Over here in Isaiah 54, it says, "For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed." So his covenant of his peace will not be removed from you. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest. See, you can be afflicted in your mind. Amen? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
You can be afflicted in your mind. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, not comforted. Behold, I will lay your stones with fair colors and lay the foundation with sapphires. I will make windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all the borders of pleasant stones, and your children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children, and in righteousness shalt thou be established. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear from the terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire and that brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. For every tongue that is rise shall rise against thee in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me." Now finally, 2 Chronicles verse 7, as we pray. "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place to be for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven and there be no rain, or if I command that locusts devour or the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place," God says. "For now I have chosen and sanctified this house," that's us, "that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually." Amen? That's you. He's chosen this house. Somebody said this morning, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's chosen this house for his name to be there forever, and his eyes and his heart shall be here in you perpetually. That means never stops. It continues to renew. You know, he says back here when it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways." That's four things you can't do. There's four things you can't do. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, I think you've got a problem with that, and pray, well, it's difficult for you to do that. Seek my face and turn from thy wicked ways. These are all works that you can't even do. You're going to have to depend on Jesus to do every one of these, aren't you? Isn't that true? He's getting, I mean, you know. If my people, here comes a plague. If my people who are called by my name, that's the only thing you can do. Jesus, I'm called by your name. Everything else happens from there. Everything else happens from there. Every deliverance happens from Peter sinking in the water. Jesus, help! You know, Peter didn't do a bunch of religious works right there. Peter just cried out. You're his people. You're called by his name. Amen?
Yes.
That's all of the above. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek your face. Turn from your wicked ways. It's all in one word. Help! It's all done in one word. You've submitted yourself. You're crying out. You're turning to Jesus. Amen? Yeah. All of those things are done in one word. Help! You know, over in Psalm 107, it's like groundhog. I call that the Groundhog Day. At least I'm doing it today. I don't know if I ever thought of that before now. Call it the Groundhog Day of Scripture. Psalm 107. Hear the people. They turn away from, they're worshiping God. They turn away from God, follow other idols. Here, God lets their enemies come in and beat them up. Then they cry out, and God comes back and lets them out. And then it happens again. And it's about, I think it happens about five or six times. They just do the same thing over and over and over again. Isn't that you? And then, you know, hey, we're doing good. Hey, we're doing, what's that over there? I think I'll go play with one of those. And then all of a sudden you find yourself way out at the end of the pew, falling off into the crevice. You know, and then all of a sudden, God help! You know, and then he hears you. He brings you back and puts you right here in the middle of his will. Then tomorrow comes. Praise the Lord. Or next week or something. You know, God was delivering you from fear. Amen. I hope you're delivered from fear today. Amen. Are you? Are you? Can you help? Can you help somebody else? Can you help somebody? I don't mean like apart from God, but you can help somebody else with the same thing. Just, brother, just... We love you. Trust God. Enjoy the blessing of God today. Amen?
Yeah.
Just help somebody else today. You know, because you're full of joy, somebody else is going to be full of joy today. Amen? Why do the heathen rage? Well, they just don't know God. They're afraid. Really, that's true. That's true. They don't know God. They're afraid, you know. Why are they wicked? Because if they believed God, if they knew God, they wouldn't be wicked anymore. And you can help them with that. You know, they don't need anything. You don't need anything. The only reason the wicked are looking for stuff is because they thought they could do something that would be bigger and better than God. But when they meet God, they go, oh, okay. I guess you are bigger and better than everything else.
Yeah.
You see, people, every person, even wicked people, need to know Jesus.
Yeah.
They just need to know Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, did you study anything? Okay, you want to get up there and
sure.
Do it? Okay, praise the Lord. Praise God.
Good luck.
All right.
God bless you.
Don't touch David.
As long as I don't fall.